Mental health is huge. I always tell my players, give themselves grace. Like, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to learn from things. It's okay to have a bad day. On the flip side, I got to have them be a little bit more mentally tough. If we only practice when we feel good, we're not going to ever practice. They have to know and they have to find the balance of, yeah, I'm hurting today, but basketball can be my release for this. I have check-ins with them. I use a buddy system so they have a teammate that, you know, I'm going to go check on Matt today.
And I love the buddy system. We had that in my high school. We called it Hawk Sisters because we were the Highland Hawks. One year we had this Hawk sister, the next year it had to be someone different. This buddy system that you got going is going to be really successful for you guys, and I've been on many teams throughout my career. The teams where you have players who genuinely care about each other on and off the court often are a lot more successful because it's a team sport. If the team wins, we all win. If the team loses, we all lose. But like, if you do have a team that comes together and cares about each other and realizes that, you know, I'm going to be successful if this person's successful. So I want to make sure they know the plays. I don't want them to feel lost. I've been on teams before where I feel like it's not been that way. It's like, oh yeah, they're lost. That means I look better. That happens sometimes, and unfortunately is detrimental to the team.
Thank you for joining us. Ashley and myself, we're always looking for individuals that have different perspectives, whether it's basketball specific or leadership or life or whatever it might be. And I've known you for a little time now and loved our interactions together and me, you know, interacting with some of your team. And so, of course, you came immediately to mind when we were thinking about, like, ooh, who would be exciting and interesting to bring on to the podcast, and who would, you know, would people find them interesting and exciting? And so thank you for coming, and I'm hoping that the conversation can lend itself to that. Let me introduce you. Please chime in. I'm reading this off, paraphrasing the website. When I say website, it's BYU's website and a little bit of Wikipedia. So I'm like going back and forth. So fill me in where there are gaps.
Got it? If he's wrong.
I know. Ready? Here we go. Okay. So Coach Amber Whiting, she is, as Ashley mentioned, the women's BYU Brigham Young University head basketball coach. And this is where Ashley and I have a question, Coach. You were hired in 2022. So this means you're going into your third season?
Yep, third season. Yep.
Third season. Okay. We were right, Ashley.
Yes. We can do math.
That's what we were guessing. I know. We're like, okay, so it's 22. We just weren't certain. Okay. Prior to that, this is where it's really, really interesting to me, and I would love to unpack this either now or probably here in the conversation. She was a high school basketball coach in Idaho. Nonetheless, Burley, Idaho. Great big Burley. How many people live in Burley?
I don't actually know.
1,200 maybe?
We have a couple stoplights.
A few stoplights? Yeah. Yeah. The biggest, I think the nearest biggest town is Idaho Falls or Rexburg. Twin Falls. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And you were there for three seasons? Four seasons.
Four. Yep.
Four seasons. Okay. In Burley. You're from Ogden. So you are a Utah native.
Yes.
Right?
Not a Utah. Yes. Yeah.
You played at Snow College. You played at Weber. And you played at BYU.
Yep.
Awesome. What was your favorite place of all three? I'm just kidding.
Obviously, BYU.
Okay, good.
Good answer.
And then kind of lastly, and most importantly, maybe in my opinion, you are a spouse and a mother of two. I'm going to get these names right. Amari, who plays for you, and she's going into her sophomore season?
Sophomore season, yep.
Sophomore season.
Liver.
And then Jace, right?
Yep.
Who plays at Boise State. He's still at Boise State. Did he graduate?
He's at UNLV.
Oh, he transferred.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Awesome. Wow, UNLV is a great program. Good for him.
We're really excited. Yeah.
And he's what year? What is Jace?
He's going to be a junior.
Okay. So how close in age...
They're 3 years apart, but he went on a mission.
Oh, yeah.
So when they kind of compacted together a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I had the opportunity. So for those wondering, like, how do you know Coach Whiting? I had a very short stint working at BYU. Being a Utah guy, it was really weird putting on blue. Coach Whiting really helped transition that for me. Like, hey, it's okay. This is a great color. And I was able to, again, for a short period, work with her wonderful team and interact with some of you and your staff. That was in 2023, mostly through the summer. And part of that was interacting with your daughter and getting to know some of the, again, wonderful young women and staff members that, you have there at BYU. I want to ask you, I don't think I've ever asked you this.
What's that?
What's it like coaching your daughter? And nonetheless, for those that don't know, one of, if not the best player on the team, or a very, very good player on the team. So what's it like trying to figure out that dynamic?
Balance. Yeah. Well, I've coached her whole life. So for me, it didn't really change a whole lot. I know like buttons to push. Like I know when she's coasting, I know how to piss her off to get her going. Like I just know those things. And sometimes outside people, it comes off like maybe I'm too harsh. Maybe I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. No word, I would call myself. But on the flip side, like I know what's in there and I know what her goals are. And so I have to push her to that. So for me, it's, I've never, that's always been like her whole life. That's what we've done. And so there's a lot of things where we try and draw a line. Like I don't let her call me mom in practice or anywhere. Like when we're in the mix, it's Amber, coach, just like every other, player. And she learned that like kind of a hard lesson in her, freshman year of high school. She came to practice and, you know, said she had some sore, I don't know, something on her hand. And she said something about the trainer. She needed to go get taped. And then she said, mom. And I kind of flipped on her. And I was like, what did you call me? And she said, mom again. I said, hit the track. And so all the seniors, juniors, everybody kind of watched her. She ran the rest of practice. And I wouldn't, I mean, that's just, you know, she knew better. And so, like, I just, that's how we've always handled it. And so we try and put it in a box. And then a lot of times at the end of the season, there are repairs that we have to do within our relationship, right? But we try and, like, have those little times outside, like we'll go get our nails done or something every other week together, and we don't talk any basketball, right? Or I wasn't very good last year on film wise. I would if she's there coming over for Sunday dinner, she moved out so that she could have the college experience. But you know, if she came over for Sunday dinner, whatever, I was like pulling up the film, we're gonna do this, and like it became not so good. And so my husband was like, look, you don't follow any other player home. You don't go to any other player's house on Sunday. So you're not going to do that here. And so my husband's really good at like, okay, that's the line. Don't cross it, you know? And so he kind of keeps that balance for us. But we try and just like, I don't know, like package it, you know, the mom thing goes up on top of the shelf. It doesn't happen. So yeah. And she won't tell me things that are going on within the team. Like she's just, she wants the trust of her teammates, which I've been blindsided by a couple of things. And, you know, I could have got mad at her, but I understand, you know, she's, that's her thing too. And so she wants to be, I can't have it both ways. And so.
So it's an evolution. You're learning on the daily, on the monthly, what works and what doesn't. I don't think there's a perfect equation for something like that. I'm imagining it's difficult, but there's also some beautifully unique things about that as well, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Is she allowed to call you mom? Is she allowed to call you mom at home, or is it like during season, like no mom at all?
It's funny because we'll be out in public or at home, right? And she'll call me Amber, or at, you know, somewhere, and she'll call me Amber, and people think that's so disrespectful. I'm like, actually, that's for me, it's better, you know what I mean? Like, and so she does call me mom at home, but it's so, it's more Amber, some a lot more.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like you guys have it, like you're doing a really good job at that. I feel like that could be pretty difficult for people, but it sounds like from my perspective, I feel like I'm probably closer to your daughter's perspective of wanting to keep the trust of the team. I feel like I do that with my husband as well. Like, we'll like he'll see that our like team group chat is like kind of like buzzing, and he'd be like, what's going on? I'm like, sorry, I can't tell you, or like it's something I don't want to talk to you about, just because like keeping that respect of your teammates is huge. So that's really cool that you guys have that relationship, and that she also has the awareness to like keep that as well.
Yeah. And if you know her, like she, when she loves hard, she's just like, she's loyal to it. Is there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Like she'll go to bat for them. She'll stand up for them. Like even fight me on something if that's the case, right? And so that's so, and I love that about her. So I'm like, I never want to take that away, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
She was maybe committed or recruited heavily, obviously, by a lot of colleges, but was at least contemplating going somewhere else. And then what swayed her to go to BYU and to follow you and to follow
She yeah, actually follow committed to Oregon, to Kelly Graves.
That's right.
When I got the job here, she committed before junior year because she was just done with the recruiting process. She narrowed it down to her top six, taken all her visits. She was just like, in recruiting, every kid has their own journey, right? And so some kids want to drag it out and go to every single thing and decide very last minute before they sign in their senior year. Other kids just want to get it done. Like, if she was just that kid, she just knew where she wanted to do, get it done. And so she committed to Kelly, played her whole junior year. She did great. And then the job opened up her spring of her junior year. And so I just talked to her and I was like, this is, you know, Trent and I had talked first, but talked as a family. And this was like one of my dreams I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to throw my name in the hat, but we also weren't naive enough to understand that this is going to be a family affair. Like, sure. Jason's coming home from his mission. He was out on his mission at the time, but he's coming home, going to Boise State. Amari would be going to Oregon. I would be coming down here. And so it wouldn't be like we would be together very much. And we're a very close family. So we all actually I asked my family to fast and pray about it individually, because it's never like, oh, this, I got my answer, so everybody has to go along. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So everybody kind of had to have their own thing. And so when I got the job, I went out recruiting and I didn't go watch her because I'm not recruiting her. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I was out watching other people. But as soon as I got the job, I did call her and I was like, hey, you know, and my kids.
Was she downstairs when you called her?
No, okay. I got the job. My kids were home. And so I had FaceTime with both of them because Trent was with me and told them. And so like, then they came down and we were headed out to our last tournament, but I, you know, called her back that night and hey, I just want to offer you, make sure you know. And she's like, what are you doing? Because we decided this was my thing and my dream, and that was hers. And so I said, well, I'm not going to be true to myself unless I do that, you know. And so anyway, went out recruiting, didn't go watch her because I wasn't recruiting her. And so she came home from the first time for the first live period. And she's like, wait, are you never going to see me play again? And I was like, well, these were our big girl decisions. Like, yeah. Like, she's like, well, is dad going to be there? And I was like, he will probably split between me, you, and Jace of the colleges. Like, so you'll probably get, like, you know, maybe a third of him. And then she goes like, she kind of like, I could see the wheels turning, right? But she's like me a lot of the time, where if I try and make her do something, it won't work. So she'll come out, you know, swinging. So
she needs you telling me.
Yeah, just let her do her thing. And so she said to me, she's like, well, do you think I can fast and pray about it again? I was like, of course. Like, I'm all down for, you know what I mean? Like, I was, and me and Kelly had talked out on the road, Kelly Graves, and he just had been like, you know, is she really going to stay true and come? Like, he was questioning it, you know what I mean? And he's like, your daughter won't go with you? Like, he was just, you know, and it's like, as of right now, no, this is what she's doing. And so then when we got home one weekend, she just, you know, after all was said and done, the summer was over. She just, because him and I sat on her last tournament together and had a lot of conversations, and she just came home and said, you know, I think I want to come to BYU. And I was like, I was ecstatic, obviously, but I said, you know, she had to call Kelly and tell him. And he was really, really good. He was like, yeah, Mari, I always knew you were going to go with your mom. Like, loyalty and family's above all others. And so it was a good thing. So,
wow. Yeah. Amazing story. I've never heard that story. Yeah. Wonderful to hear. I love it. That's so cool. Okay, so pulling on this string of Idaho and you coaching in high school, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a lot of D1 coaches that jump from high school straight to the head coach position.
This is true.
So what made you able to do that? What was that experience like? And yeah, unpack that for me.
Honestly, applying, like, you get in your head, like, this is your dream, right? To coach at the D1 level. But for me and how my life had unfolded, after I got done playing and graduated, my husband had a job overseas playing professionally. So he was in Italy for 12 years. And so my kids were born, I homeschooled them, and then they played on various little, they call them mini basket teams over there, and kind of traveled around and did stuff. But I just loved watching Trent's, his coaches, and I loved watching the strategy. I loved, like, I mean, he would watch film every night. I'd watch it with him. Like, not that I was, like, trying to cook, but I was just, like, it was, you know, like, I couldn't get enough of it. He would come home with those playbooks, and I was just, like, looking at them. I mean, it was really cool for me to see that side of things. And then we started a basketball club called Hard Knocks on when Jace was, like, second, third grade, and that's what they would play in the summers. So I actually managed that. We had 23 teams by the time I got the job, and I had to quit. And then I coached two coming up through. One of them was Emma's team, the older team, Emma Calvert, and then the other one was Amari. And so they were a little bit apart, but then Amari would play on the older teams too. And so I got to bring those girls through. And so I just love coaching. Like, that was one of the major things for me. And then I was coaching with Natalie Williams on the Adidas circuit, and she's the Aces GM right now. And so when the job opened up, she had actually just got the Aces job. And so she left her club to me. So I was running the Adidas circuit club. It was NWBA, Natalie Williams Basketball Academy at that point in time. So that's what I was running. And so, I mean, I was dealing with college coaches all the time, right? And you have to, there's rules and there's live periods and all the things that you're dealing with. So you're dealing with it anyway, as far as the rules and compliance and all that goes, you know. So I was familiar with that, and then the recruiting process of both my kids. And then when the job opened up, like, obviously I, you know, it's a dream. So I, you know, threw my name in there, and never, not once thinking that they would actually pick me. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, you just don't think they do, you know, like, you have all these hopes and dreams and what you're going to do, but you don't think they do. And so every interview I had, I just remember going into it before just saying, you know, I have to be myself. I have to be myself 100%, because if they hire me, they have to hire me for who I am, not who they think they're getting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, little by little, like, I went through, I did like Brian and Tom's interview, and then I went to Vice President Work Inc., and then President Worthen. And then it was like, and when I got to him, it was a little bit like, whoa,
this is
like,
real.
It's real. Like, I was kind of like, now I'm going down the line. You know what I mean? And I didn't understand at the time, but they kind of whittle it every single time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so after President Worthen's interview, they called me and they said, hey, we need you down and in Salt Lake. I was going to meet with Elder Holland. And it was on the day Jace was coming home from his mission. I just remember thinking, your kid comes home once. Like, you get that feeling once, right? And I was just like, I can't be there. I'm sorry. And the lady's like, what? And I was like, and I kind of explained it. She's like, I'll have to call you back. And I was like, okay. And I just remember getting off the phone and my heart sunk, like, no. You know, just, but then she called me back and she said he could do it the next day. And I was like, all right. So we went, did the missionary thing in Boise. He came home off his mission, and then got him home, got him settled. And then the next morning, Trent and I drove down because they wanted him in my interview too, in President Holland's office. And so, like, when I walked in, he had a picture on his desk, because I could see across his desk, of us in the airport the day before.
That I booked across the
cute. And a full on, like, written, like, right
he
up
was
about
prepared.
Us, right? And I was sitting there like almost like he had like private investigators.
Yeah, he's watching you.
And I just remember thinking, this man is gonna speak through my soul. Like,
yeah.
You just get this little bit of like, am I good enough? Like, panic mode, right? And so I sat down in his office, and he broke the ice so quick. He was like, why is your daughter going to Oregon? Like, just like that mean. And I was like, ugh. I was like, well, she prayed about it. He's like, have her pray again. Like, so serious. And so it just made us laugh, and it kind of broke the ice, you know what I mean? And then just the interview out throughout the, we just sat and interviewed with him. And I just remember thinking, like this, he just, I had a lot of like really sweet, tender mercies going through the time. But that point in his office, he just gave me some really good advice that I tried to live by. Just do the right things the right way. And so in this job, like, you have choices to make all the time. And that's always like in my mind, like, do the right things the right way. Like, I always have to operate in that manner. Cause then I know I'll be staying true to what I was told to do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then I left, or I went to leave, and I asked him if I could have a hug, because that will never happen again. So that was a fun time. And then when I walked out, like, I just remember turning to Trent and being like, if I don't get this, like, I'm going to die. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted it so bad, and you just have that feeling. And then they called me down to come down to Provo. And so we drove down, and I just remember thinking, be classy, be classy. Like, win classy, lose classy. That's what I always tell my girls, right? So, yeah. When, you know, if you get told no, just be classy. And then they told me yes, and I just jumped up and down, screaming and hugging and crying all at the same time. And so, yeah, that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
That is such a cool story. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's
there's
a lot,
so
too, when
things.
People say, oh, you just went from high school. Like, that whole first year, I took hits.
Oh, I
so
bet.
I had to get off social media. I did off of everything because it was coming. It was coming hard.
Yeah.
My son kind of got into it with the guy on Twitter, and I said, nope, everybody's off. We are off. We are not engaging. And then after the first year, like, everybody can say what they want to say about me, but I'm no longer just a high school coach. I've done it for a year. Now I'm here. Here we go. Right.
Love it. So, wow. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Wow. Yeah, there's like, a lot in there, coach.
Fire all the questions you want.
I know. Ashley, you go. I know you have like 50 pending.
I don't know. I'm just like super inspired by your story, especially as someone like I feel like coaching to some degrees in my future. I have my C license. I've been coaching like soccer camps since I was like in middle school to like just like my parents. They said if I wanted to go to the BYU soccer summer camps, that was like our trip of the year, like my sister and I had to pay for half of it. And so so I like my sister and I were like, let's start teaching kids how to play soccer, let's do our own soccer camps. And so I kind of feel like I can relate to you a little bit. I'm obviously not on your level of like starting a whole club, but like I've kind of been hustling in like the coaching space for a while, but then obviously like playing, being an athlete is number one for me. But just to hear your story about how you, like you said, from an outsider's perspective, all the haters are going to say, oh, she's just a high school coach. But then you show up and you're like, no, I'm a coach and I'm going to like help my players be successful. And I think something that makes a coach a really good coach is like saying the things, be classy, win classy, lose classy. Like those are the lessons, like that's the gold that I feel like your players will take with them off the court, you know, into life.
Totally.
And like that's I feel like what a real coach is about. And or like even like the lesson that Elder Holland told you, that you stick by, do the right things in the right way. Like I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like super pumped and motivated by your story because I'm like, okay, maybe that's something I can do in the future. Like maybe I can, because I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, she was just a player. Like can players really go from being a good player to a good coach? And it's something that's kind of intimidating for me, but like it's also very inspiring because I feel like coaches really do have the power to change the world through their athletes. And so just like hearing your story just really got me pumped up. I don't really have a specific question for you right now. I'm just like super motivated. That was really cool. So thanks for sharing.
I know. Hey, I do have a lot of questions to ask. One, BYU is unique. We've alluded to this. I didn't go there, but I experienced some of it again in working and being around you and some of the other teams there at BYU. Man, it's an amazing institution, but again, some unique challenges. So touch on some of those, and not only being a woman leader in this space, which I think is a challenge in and of itself, even if you're at Alabama or Tennessee or BYU or Utah. But then doing it at a place like BYU, what are some of these unique challenges that you've experienced over the course of these last 2 years, 2.5 years? How have you navigated them? What have you learned? I know that was a lot, so let me rephrase if you need me to.
No, I think BYU is unique and special, and I feel like the kids that I recruit have to fit that. Like, yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. So basically, I know the honor code is the thing, right? So when I first am recruiting a recruit, whether it's out of the portal or a kid from high school, I just hit the honor code straight on. That's the first conversation I have with them because if they can't, and I ask them, I explain it to them, and then I ask them point blank, can you think you can live by this? And then if they say, I've had kids say, no, coach, I like to party, right? And that's normally kids outside the portal, mm-hmm. like in the portal. And I'm like, cool, you know what, let's not go down this road, right? But then parents of high school kids, more or less, and some portal kids, love to hear what BYU has and is, and that we want to live by that. Like, it's just not something we want to say, but it's actually something that we want to live by, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a competitive advantage, because as an athlete, you don't want to be putting that crap in your body, right? First of all.
Yeah,
secondly, totally. If you're out partying, you know, and doing like other things that aren't outside, like that's just distractions. That's all it is. Yeah. And so whether coaches, like I know Dawn Staley, she has a dry season. Mm-hmm. That's cut and dry. You know what I mean? And so it's what we are. It's who we are, you know, and it makes this place like my girls go out and have fun for the right reasons. And they have fun doing it like in a clean, wholesome manner. And that can be fun, right? It can be good. And so I just lean into it. I just embrace it, lean into it. I don't try to hide it. I don't try to say, oh, well, you can, you know, go hide on the weekends to do, you know, so X, Y, and Z. No, this is who we are. And this is what we do. And this is what we live by. Yeah. And so if I just hit it head on like that, like I try and teach them, like, I mean, these women are, it's more or less like when you're talking about being a coach, like you don't remember the wins and losses. You don't. You remember the relationships. You remember your coaches. Right. You remember what you learned while you were there. And so if I can make them better people, better women to go out and influence the world in a better manner, then I'm doing my job, you know?
Beautifully said.
Totally.
No, I love it. You also coach, have a shirt there, if people can't see what you're wearing, that says female coach, but female has a line through it.
Yes.
Why that shirt? It's very interesting.
I don't know. It just is a shirt that was on, when was it? Judged by achievement, not by gender. Where did I pick this up at? Shoot. It was some boutique somewhere. Maybe at Final Four.
Okay.
I think. And so just, I want to embrace my women for who they are. And they all know that about me. I have women from different religious backgrounds. And that's another farce that I try and dispel at BYU, because people think that you can only come here if you're yes,
yeah.
or labeled a member, right? And so I believe that I draw strength from all of my women, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Catholic, whether, you know, whatever, from diversity background or not. And so I think that we all have strength in that manner, can build off each other and learn from each other. And so I embrace them for who they are, and I recruit them for who they are, not to change them in any way, shape, or form. I want to better them, right? But I don't want to change who they are. And so that's just, I don't know, kind of who I am and what I stand by.
Yeah, I think that's really important for a lot of people to recognize about BYU, and now you specifically. Yes, it's owned and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I don't think a lot of people realize how diverse that university, and especially the sporting environment, actually is. I think it goes without saying that all are welcome, as long as you, like you were mentioning, are willing to, you know, abide by the rules and the regulations that are in place at this institution. But that's something I love about your team and about the institution itself, is it really is very welcoming and strengthens whatever it is that you believe in, whether it's Christian or LDS related or not, right? And it's something that I've noticed from afar. So thanks for embodying that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really cool. No, I just wanted to chime in on what you were saying about your recruiting process and getting players, you know, to come to BYU and just being like upfront and honest about, hey, look, this is the honor code. I love that approach. I think it's really smart. And I also think it's, you're helping your players, you're setting them up for success. I feel like being honest and upfront and you're like, hey, this is what you're going to get at BYU. You're either going to thrive this way or you're not. And I think that also is a great foot to start on when you're recruiting your players, because you have that open and honest communication. They're coming in and they're knowing exactly what they're getting into. When I played at BYU, I was a part of a team where everyone was a member of a church, and that also was a really unique situation for me, because I've never been on a team where every single person was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But being within like the sport community at BYU, it was really fun to have conversations with other athletes who were not quote unquote members, but were of another faith or weren't religious at all. But we usually had this common ground of like, we like to live our lives this way. And usually it was because of the honor code. And like you said, if you're an athlete that's serious about your craft, whatever it is, like, you're going to want to take care of your body and your mind. And like, these are the things that are going to set you up for success. And so I really hate this like perception from mostly from people who don't understand when I tell them I went to BYU. It's like, oh, you weren't allowed to do anything. And it's like, I hate that. It's like, no, actually the way I lived my life allowed me to do so much more. And it's just the way that, you know, people perceive it and the way that you take it. So it sounds like you're doing a great job with your recruits and being open and honest with them. And it sounds like it's paying off by the girls that you are getting to come play for your team, which is really cool.
Well, don't you hate the, and I love that the church made it like, they call it religiously diverse now, instead of calling it members and non-members, because think about how inclusive or excluding that is, right?
Totally.
I mean, I have people who, even applying for my assistant job, they didn't think that they could work here because they weren't LDS. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's a huge perception, right? And we are all inviting, all welcoming. And so like, I think two of the four transfers I got were, they were religiously diverse. They weren't members. Right. So like, but even those two girls, those two women have taught my own team right now so much, even about, they're just good people. So when I say that's who I have to recruit here, like, I just have to recruit good kids. And if they can live and abide by who, you know, then it's just going to strengthen. I have a, she turned pro, but my little girl from Spain, Marina, she would pray for us in Spanish, and she was Catholic, right? But every time she said a prayer, like, I got chills.
Yeah.
Didn't know what she was saying, but I could feel, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And so for me, I want them to feel that here. And then when they leave, hopefully they can become a better person because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's so cool.
I was talking to a friend the other day who's, I think, agnostic, and she said, there's a lot of ways to be a good person in relation to religion and sexual orientation and whatever it might be. And so to have that inclusivity, I think, is inspiring and important. And especially for these young women coming into this, it's such a pivotal, influential period of their lives. And if they can leave with this diverse perspective, knowing that there are many wonderful human beings in this world, Christian or not, I think is really, really important. Okay. I'm going to pivot with a question that I want to tug on recruiting.
Okay.
And NIL. So when I was with you for the short period, I was amazed at how much you had to do that wasn't coaching. How recruiting this and NIL this and putting out this fire and putting out this fire and doing this with staff. And then it was like, then we can do some X's and O's and actually do some coaching. What's that like, having to spearhead a program at this level? And I mean, was your perspective change coming into this role? I mean, did you think it was going to be 90-10 with 90 coaching and 10 putting out fires? And how has that flipped? What has that experience been like?
I thought it would be 90% of the basketball and 10% all the other stuff. But I quickly learned that that's flipped, right? But I feel like my staff, I want to put the best of the best around me, right? And so, like, as I've done that, like, Lee's taken on offense this summer, and he's running with it. And I love to just like walk into our staff meeting, and Lee said, he'll say, Coach, I'm gonna work on X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I love it. Let's go. You know what I mean? Or we bounce back and forth. Like, what do you think about this? You know, and we can talk hoops, but at the end of the day, he's going to instill it. He's going to know what we're doing, you know, like, he's going to own that. And I just love, and then it just it takes a little bit off my shoulders, not think that, you know, trying to overthink everything.
Delegation.
Yeah. And so that's if you're talking about like coming into this job, my main challenge, I think, as far as like what I didn't know would be a challenge was the delegation part. Because if you think about it in high school, you do your scout, you mop the floors, get the balls there, you do everything, right? And so managing the amounts of people that I have, right? And getting everybody on the same boat rowing the same direction. That's probably mm-hmm. like my biggest like challenge in of itself. Because you have assistant coaches, you have, you know, SIDs, player development, film, Dobo, executive assistant managers, guy squad, like strength and conditioning. Like there's just a lot, you know. And so when I say a whole staff meeting, I want everybody in the room because these people all are dealing with our women, you know. And then we have our staff meeting that's just the coaches. And then so it's just there's that part for me I wasn't prepared for. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning to like balance it, if that makes sense. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like I don't always have to be on the radio. It can be an assistant coach can rotate through and take things on the radio, you know, like after game interviews so I can go be with the team. Just and to kind of like delegate more in that manner. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and it speaks to your point earlier of taking your time when you're hiring somebody like an assistant coach. You need to make sure that you're able to, with full trust, you know, rely upon that delegation so that they can do a good job.
I think every single person on my staff is unbelievably unselfish, right? So they just give like everybody lifts where they stand, but then they help everybody else in what they see needs. And I just like, I love being in here with them. And I got my master's in PLCs, professional learning communities. And it's basically like, the strength is togetherness. The strength is not an individual me like dictating to everybody. Right. And so just everybody buys in, everybody brings their ideas to the table. Best idea wins. So it's not just a, you know, you like pointing fingers, do this. It's, hey coach, what do you think about this? Everybody has ideas. Nope. Let's do this. And then we all jump on board and we go with it. And so it's not like a individual thing, it's more of collective, and that has to be how it is up here in the offices, because then it goes down to the players, and that's how it has to, you know, translate.
It's not only you trusting your staff, but your staff have to trust each other.
Yeah.
Like everyone has to have some form of trust in what the strength coach is saying and the head athletic trainer is saying and the assistant coach is saying, etc. And I think that's imperative with that holistic development in mind, coach. Mm-hmm. What role do you see, or what role have you seen mental health, mental performance playing with you and your team?
We've had a lot of challenges that are outside of basketball. You know what I mean?
Right.
With individual players or things like their families or whatnot. And so mental health is huge. I feel like we don't take enough time. I don't know. I feel like a lot can be like technology, maybe like the, you know, women or the player athletes, they, you know, everything's perfect on social media or whatever. Right. So they have to be that. And so just taking that out, but I always tell my players, give themselves grace. Like it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to learn from things. It's okay to have a bad day. Right.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I got to have them be a little bit more mentally tough. Like if we only practice when we feel good, we're not going to ever practice. Like that's just, you know what I mean? And so just like they have to know and they have to find a balance of, you know, yeah, I'm hurting today, or yeah, this happened in my life, but basketball can be my release for this, you know? Mm-hmm. I try and give them a mental health day a year. I used to do 3, but I felt like I started to get to be taken advantage of a little bit, but no questions asked. So they can wake up that morning and text me or you know, whatever happened in their life, no questions asked, but they need to go see either our mental health guy or our psych guy so that they can, you know, work through the problem, because that problem's still going to be there the next day. It's not just going to vanish because you took a mental health day, right? And so I want them to have that so that they kind of have a release. Like I don't have to, and they can't use it on a game day. They can't use it the day before a game.
That seems fair.
Yeah, because I have to be prepared going to the day where I'm going to be that day. But just like... instilling that, and then like I have check-ins with them, you know what I mean, that I kind of try and do throughout the year. I know my assistant coaches are so good at checking in with the players randomly. I use a buddy system, so they have a teammate that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, I'm going to go check on Matt today. Or, you know, when you walk in, you can see. I have I have some girls that are really perceptive, though. Like, I walked in one day, and, you know, she walked up to me and gave me a hug. She could see it all over my face. I was having a rough one. And I just was like, no, I can't. I don't want them to ever see this, you know. But it was good for her to see that I, you know, I have days, too. And I'm here. I'm in the grind, and we're going together. You know, that doesn't negate that. And so I've kind of tried to do those things. And those aren't all my ideas. Like, I've picked brains of other college coaches. Like, how do you do this? You know, what do you do for this? You know, just to get gives and takes so that I can try and help make my program the best.
I love the buddy system. I didn't think of that, especially in such high level sport like this, where especially I'm thinking of freshmen that are coming into this new, really high pressure environment. What an advantageous, you know, concept. Like, this is your person. Make sure they're okay, and they're going to make sure you're okay. With these check-ins, I'm curious, with your coaches and stuff.
I'm just starting that this year, because I had some freshmen last year that kind of got, you know what I mean? They didn't really feel valued or seen or heard. And so I want across the board, just every single athlete or every single woman on my team athlete, but is going to, I don't want it to be upperclassmen, lowerclassmen. Like, I don't want it to have a pecking order. I just want it to be everybody's in this together. You know what I mean? And I don't want it to be like, oh, freshman, you're carrying bags, or like they're the crap, right? Like, I want it to be like they're valued, they're seen, they're heard, they have a voice, and it's just as important as that senior leader as well. And so I've seen a big change in my team.
I was just going to ask. Yeah.
I've seen a huge change. And I'm not putting up with yelling at them anymore, you know? And so it can be like that when you get, you know, you haven't been here, I've been here. No, we're all here together. Like, we're all in this. So I try and take that like kind of attitude towards it. And then now I'm seeing seniors putting their arm around, hey, come here, let me show you this. Right. Or, I mean, I saw on somebody's story the other day, and it was an actual senior out with a freshman having breakfast. Like, they didn't have to do that, but they are doing that together, you know? And so they're just, I just love that the camaraderie's there because of that.
Which lends itself, in theory, so well to success on the court.
Hopefully.
Right? When there's camaraderie off the court, it's, in my opinion, eventually it's going to benefit or facilitate that ultimate success on the court.
I can definitely attest to that. I've been on many teams throughout my career, and the teams where you have players who genuinely care about each other on and off the court or on and off the pitch often are a lot more successful, because it's a team sport. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, if the team wins, we all win. If the team loses, we all lose. And I feel like sometimes it can be hard, especially in sports like basketball and soccer, where you do have certain individuals who are maybe scoring than others, who do get a little bit more of the spotlight than others. It can be hard to kind of like balance that. But like, if you do have a team that comes together and cares about each other and realizes that, you know, I'm going to be successful if this person's successful, so I want to make sure they know the plays. I want to make sure, I don't want them to feel lost. I've been on teams before where I feel like it's not been that way. It's like, oh yeah, they're lost, that means I look better. That happens sometimes, and unfortunately is detrimental to the team. That's really important. I love the buddy system. We had that in my high school. We called it Hawk Sisters because we were the Highland Hawks. And so every year it was different too. So if we had 1 year we had this Hawk sister, the next year it had to be someone different, which I feel like allowed us to just like get to know each other. And like,
totally,
whoever was my Hawk sister, like, I got to know them really well that year, and it was really fun. So I think this buddy system that you got going is gonna be really successful for you guys. And I think basketball is really unique because you do have a smaller roster, smaller team, like compared to soccer. So I think you guys can all just get so much closer, and you can have so many more like meaningful, engaging like conversations with smaller groups. So I think that's really cool. I'm excited for you guys this year.
I am too. We the same, like, not, I don't want it to be their weightlifting partner. I don't want it to be somebody that they already are close with. Yeah. Right. I want it to be somebody completely different. And so Yeah, I'm trying it. Hopefully it works.
Do you give them autonomy to choose who it is, or do you choose it for them, or how does it work? I'm curious. Yeah. So you text me like, hey, so-and-so, here's your buddy. They're like, oh, freak.
Yeah. And just because there is trust, right? But I just sure. like, I don't want it to be like, you're already a person who you already don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's gotta be something you don't know as well, who you don't, you know, and you can kind of see that organically, you know?
Yeah. You have a perspective that they don't have, cause you're seeing it from a little bit more zoomed out and you know all the players each individually in different ways. So I feel like it makes sense for you to make that system.
Yeah. You're the head coach.
Right?
Yeah. Huh?
You're the head coach. You can do this. You can say if not. Coach, speaking of that, I tell coaches all the time, heavy is the head that wears the visor or the crown or whatever you wear on your head. Maybe you don't wear anything. And so, yes, it's vitally important that the mental health and emotional health and spiritual, physical health of your student athletes, of your players are healthy. What about you? How are you as a head coach doing? How is this experience of being the head person of a D1 program taking its toll? What are you learning? What's it been like?
I have a lot more gray hairs. I don't know if you can see.
We can't see them at all. Don't worry.
Can't see them. Can't see them.
No, I have, it's balance. I've learned that like very early on. It's a high stress job, obviously. So how do I handle that stress, you know? And so that was one of Tom's questions. And I didn't really, when he said it to me, I was kind of like, he's like, what do you do when you're stressed? I was like, I go on walks. Like I just put my headphones in and I listen like spiritual stuff and I just go, you know? And he's like, that's a good one. That's a good one. And then I didn't really understand it. Now it's like, I walk every night. Like, but just like having like, making sure my spiritual side, taking time for that. It's like, that's my inner peace. And if I'm right there, like if I'm good on that, then I can handle a lot more, I feel like. Does that make sense?
Spiritual resilience.
Your inner peace and your spiritual, you're good. Then balls can be thrown at, you know, one day at a time. Like I vent a lot to my husband.
That
and then he
helps.
Always, yeah. And he's always just like, I'm just supposed to listen, right? Yep. Just listen. Don't
say anything.
Yeah. and I run every morning. That's another thing. And it's just for my mental, like, just clarity. I get a lot of like, I don't know how you say it, like, but a lot of clean, like not clean thoughts, but like clean, like, oh, this is what I need to do. Like, it's very clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just like running.
Well, there's a whole bunch of literature that can back up moving the body and how beneficial it is psychologically and emotionally. That's why physical activity is recommended for everybody. So if you're not physically active, go on a walk. Okay. Here's kind of my last question. I love asking this question to people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When have you failed? What was that like? And what did you learn as a result of that experience?
A really early lesson that I learned when I was younger. I was a sophomore in high school, and that's when it was only sophomore, junior, seniors. They didn't take freshmen then, at my high school at least. And I was in the state championship game, and I missed the winning shot to win it. And I just remember Gina Butter, she was my coach. She played at the U. She's an amazing coach. But she just put her arm around me, and I just remember her telling me that this moment can't define me. And I, like, that's a huge lesson that has stayed with me for, like, my whole life, right? Like, how am I going to turn around tomorrow? Am I going to walk back in the gym and work? Or am I going to go cry all, you know, for months on end that I did that, right? And so even today, like, I mean, when we lose, if we lose a game or if we lose something, like, that moment doesn't define, that game doesn't define our season, doesn't define our career, doesn't define anything, right? And so last year, I actually used that actual learning lesson with one of my athletes in our very last game. She probably doesn't care that I share it, but she was heartbroken after the game, because she missed a free throw to basically win it for us. And I mean, she led the country in rebounding. And so you don't, like, I mean, you don't get to use that moment right there, that little tiny bit, to define your whole entire career, your whole entire everything, right? And she was devastated and crying. And like, I just picked her up and I talked to her and I told her that moment can't define you. Like, what are you going to change? What are you going to learn? The challenges for me, when I look at challenges, they're opportunities to rise, you know? And so for her, like, how are you going to rise out of this? How are you going to teach the next generation? What are you going to learn? What are you going to take away from this? And so I always tell my girls that, I mean, that there's a few things, but can't let your highs get too high or your lows get too low. You know what I mean? And so that moment, it could have been real, real low and sent her into a tailspin. But no, that doesn't define her. She's so much more than that one tiny little moment, you know? And so that's a huge one that I try and teach them and have them learn from. And heck, I still learn from that every day, you know, like, did I do what was right? Should I have called that timeout? Should I, you know what I mean? There's what it could have showed us after every game, but you can't continue to beat yourself up. You got to learn from them, move on, come back in the next day, because it doesn't stop. The grind doesn't stop. And so just go again.
Coach, you know what I call that? Resiliency.
Matt's favorite
word. If it's not one of your core values, it should be. It's, for me, it's adversity plus positive adaptation. That for me is resiliency. Inevitably, you're going to fail and have these ups and downs, but what are you learning as a result to just get a little bit better? And so I think you are wonderfully resilient. So continue to be wonderfully resilient. And I know that will pay dividends for your team and your staff as well. So thanks for showing that and saying that. Appreciate it. Yeah. Ashley, did you have anything else for Coach?
I mean, I feel like we could sit here and probably talk for another 2 hours.
I know. I don't want to hold her too long.
But I just want to say thank you for coming on today. I feel like I learned a lot and also just reminded of a lot of really important things, especially as a current athlete. I feel like a lot of these lessons I can apply straight to my life right now in my career. So thank you. Yeah, I just want to wish you and your team the best of luck, even though you don't need luck, because it sounds like you guys are doing all the right things and working really hard. So yeah, just thanks again. Really appreciate it. I'll definitely be following your team closely this year. It's going to be fun to watch. So yeah, all the best.
I would love it. Thank you. You guys, seriously, thank you. This is fun.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no worries. Coach, I have one last question. This is the most serious question. Uh-oh. If you and Trent played one-on-one right now, your husband, first basket wins, whoever scores first. Well, no, so I guess you both had an opportunity. Let's say to three. Who would win?
If he's smart, he's going to let me win.
Good answer. That's awesome.
I love it. Coach, thank you so much. We are cheering on the Cougs this upcoming season. When's your first game? Is it October?
It's in November.
Go Cougs. Yeah. Thank you again.
Yeah. Matt, that was amazing. Thanks so much for inviting Coach Whiting. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. I feel very fortunate to have had her on. I mean, I think she's really, really good at being a human being while being a D1 coach. She's very transparent, which I just love. She doesn't really hide much. You know what she's thinking, you know what she's feeling. And like she mentioned, you know, that's a lesson I think she's had to learn with her girls. Like, oh, I can't show that I'm emotion or that I have emotion. But she's realized, no, I need to be human so they can be human and that we can all be the best humans together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope a lot of listeners find a lot of interest and intrigue and her experiences and what she had to say for sure.
Yeah, she's definitely, you can tell she's just, she is 100% herself. Like, what you see is what you get. Whatever question you have, I know she's going to answer it honestly. I think that's what players want the most from coaches. And so I just really respected that from her. And I feel like I have a little notepad here. I wrote down so many lessons that I'm like, oh, I really like that.
I know.
Like I said earlier, like, be classy, win classy, lose classy, religious diversity, like, that's a new term that I feel like I haven't heard, because probably I haven't been at BYU in a while, or the Elder Holland story with do the right things the right way. Like, if you're living your life the way you want to be living it and doing things the way that you know you should be doing them, then everything else will fall into place, whatever that looks like. And it's kind of just this way to navigate through life. And I feel like it's cool to hear mm-hmm. someone else say that, because I feel like that's how I've tried to navigate yeah. my life and my professional career as well. So that was
and
really
not
cool to hear
not only her, but like especially a coach at BYU, mm-hmm. which stereotypically is very close-minded, and they don't know about other religions and orientations, and they aren't welcoming and they're not inviting. But she was the exact opposite. She is the exact opposite. She's like, no, if you're Muslim, if you're Jew, if you're atheist, please come. There's a spot for all of us here, and especially in the athletic department, which I just love. For me, the overarching theme is resiliency. I know I mentioned this to her. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there's, you know, obviously I've talked about this before. I love this concept of being resilient and training deliberately, you know, resiliency. And I think she really displayed how important it is to be physically resilient, emotionally, psychologically, and even spiritually and collectively, you know, cohesively as a team to be resilient. And I think there's just so much to gain from that as a mother, as a partner, as a soccer player, as a basketball player, as a CEO, whomever it is that you are and whatever domain you might find yourself in. So hopefully that
yeah, totally,
message
yeah.
is clear.
I feel like the BYU women's basketball team is definitely in good hands with her. I think, especially like you said, when it comes to this religious diversity, I think it's really cool to see sports used to help spread that message. I feel like yeah. BYU has done a really good job lately of, I talk to Liz Darger a lot, which is one of the assistant athletic directors, of, you know, working with the NCAA and going to these DEI committees and just kind of like figuring out ways to continue to like learn and grow as a university, but also by still staying true to the standards and the values of the university because it represents the church. And I feel like that can be a very hard yeah. thing to do, but I feel like they do it so gracefully. And I feel like sports is a great avenue to continue to do that. And I think Coach Whiting has shown us today, just by the way she talks about all of her women and how they have this strength and this unity among their diversity. And I just love that so much. So they're in really, really good hands. But a question that I have for you is, you got to work with Coach Whiting and her team. Is that something that you do do you do that now? Like working with teams, like, is it always sports? Do you work with individuals? Like, can you tell our audience a little bit more about the services that you could provide a team or an individual and what that looks like and how they could maybe reach out if that's something that they wanted?
Yeah. Thank you for asking, actually. yeah. So like I alluded to in the discussion, I had the amazing opportunity, very short stint, to work with BYU athletics. It wasn't everyone in the athletic department. When I say everyone, all the teams, all the sports teams, mostly football and women's basketball and gymnastics, in fact. And so that's how I met Amber. That's how I met Coach Whiting, and I was able to work with her and her staff and some of her players. It was just amazing to be around that team, that the women's basketball team in particular, because of how wonderful, you know, as human beings they are and how great it was just to get to know them. But yes, I mean, to answer your question, so mental performance. So I am not, as I've hopefully addressed on this show, maybe I haven't, I'm not a sports psychologist. And so I don't work with mental illness, essentially. I don't diagnose, I don't prognose with ADHD or bipolar disorder or depression. I'm definitely trained to recognize it and then refer. So that is 100% my responsibility as a professional. I am a certified mental performance consultant. I have a PhD in applied sports psychology, essentially. And so I work, you know, just as a strength coach would, I do that for the mind. And so whether it's attention, whether it's emotional regulation, whether it's goal setting, whether it's imagery and visualization, motivation, self-confidence, I mean, these are some of the many things that I usually touch on with athletes, coaches, business individuals, medical professionals. I've worked with musicians, which was really fun. And so any kind of really performance domain, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to define that term performance from kind of a singular perspective. If you're really wanting to accomplish anything, you're performing, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's as an athlete who plays for the Washington Spirit or whether it's someone who plays college sports. That's what I help with. And so, yeah, I am, as they say, open for business. whether it's team, you know, working with the team collectively or one-on-one and we sit down together, whether it's Zoom or phone call, or in person, if you're here in the state of Utah, I'm all for that. In fact, I mean, just to give you an example, this morning, in fact, I was working with a high school team. I went and presented to a local high school team here in and around self-confidence. I presented for about 45 minutes and I presented to their leadership for every single one of their teams. I think there were 50 student athletes for this particular high school. So it can be kind of one-off presentations, workshops, if you will, or we can, you know, from the most efficacious manner, work together and make this kind of a process or a program. And I would love to explore if I can help you in any way. Maybe we're not the right fit and maybe we're a beautiful fit. So I would love to hop on a phone call or a Zoom or meet you in person and explore that if you're interested or willing. I guess the smart thing to do would be to say, hey, how can I reach you? Right, mm-hmm. Ashley?
Yeah.
So you can message the Ditto thing. What do they call it on Instagram?
Instagram. Yeah. Instagram. Yeah. Slide into our DMs if you want to.
Slide into the DMs. That's how cool I am. I know that phrasing.
Yeah. I knew you can.
Yeah, of course. Or you can email my work email. So I am a professor at the University of Utah here in Salt Lake City. I think my information is posted on the web. I'm brand new in terms of full time this coming semester. And so my information, bio, picture, and everything should be posted shortly on the Department of Health and Kinesiology's website. If not, we can put my email in the notes or on the Ditto Instagram social media platforms.
Yep.
it is matthew.moore@health.utah.edu if you're just wanting to know right off the bat. So anyways.
Perfect.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Really important. I think it's cool that our guests have access to someone if they've never had any access or interactions with a certified mental performance coach. So yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening and tuning in. This was a longer one because I feel like we had so many great things to talk about, but I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please like, subscribe, share, comment. Share. All the good stuff.
Everything.
Yes. And we look forward to the next episode. I hope everyone has a great day.
Bye, everybody. Thanks again.